Hi, everyone. Welcome back to Musai Collective Podcast. I'm your host, Lindsay Cabrera, and this is episode 2 of season 6. So today we're going to talk about all things manifestation. And manifestation for me has been something that I've been practicing for about 10 years or so in my own life. And for me, it's definitely been a pillar of, you know, a way for me to ritualize and create my life. And I really hope that you can take something from this episode, as today we're talking to manifestation coach Jessica Whitney. And she's actually been on a mission to help more women step into their divine power and live a life that they love. So through her own personal transformation, she has tapped into the abundance of the universe and has learned the beautiful art of allowing. She was once insecure and now is an uber confident woman who has created a life full of joy that has inspired many women to give up the struggle and fear to step into the fierce and free women that they're meant to be. Through her gift of storytelling, Jessica has inspired many women to go within and allow the beauty of the universe to flood their life with more joy than ever before. Today, Jessica and I dive into all things manifestation, joy, the art of allowing and surrendering, and so much more. I hope you enjoy this episode, and this is Jessica Whitney on Musai Collective. Hi, Jessica. Welcome to Musai Collective Podcast. How is it going over there in London, Ontario?
It's going very well. Thank you so much for having me.
I'm so excited to speak to you today. We're actually going to be chatting about manifestation, joy, energy, and how they're all actually connected. And I'd actually love to start this off by having you share your origin story and how you fell into this work as a manifestation coach.
Yes, absolutely. So I grew up with a mom who was very spiritual. So I would say about 10 years ago, I really started diving deep into the work of Louise Hay, Dr. Wayne Dyer, Dr. Joe Dispenza. And it wasn't until 2021, we were in the middle of a pandemic, and my sister and I were hiking a lot, and we were reading the books and meditating together. And we were kind of, you know, imagining what we would love to do with our lives. And in 2015, I had actually moved to Costa Rica and I had studied the TEFL course. So I had this dream of living in Costa Rica, teaching English, traveling the world, doing all that kind of stuff. And then I ended up coming back to Canada. So when the pandemic hit and I wasn't able to work, my sister and I were kind of dreaming about whether or not we would love to travel and go back to Costa Rica again. So we were hiking and imagining we could have a home in Costa Rica and work online and do all of that fun stuff. And then Bob Proctor came into our life. And that actually led us to invest into a program that talks all about manifestation and how to change your life and using the laws of the universe to create whatever you would like. And so we both took that course. It was a 6-month course in 2021. And I had the goal to move back to Costa Rica. And I did the course, and 3 months after the course ended, I moved to Costa Rica. And so I've just been so passionate about sharing what I've learned with the world and telling people that, you know, you can create the life of your dreams. And, you know, I think that so many people after the pandemic, they realized that they didn't have to go to the 9-to-5 and do the daily grind anymore. We've all taken the opportunity to, you know, imagine a different life. And so many people are becoming entrepreneurs, working for themselves, working less, making more money. And I just think I always had that desire, and it's just kind of worked out for me.
Absolutely. Everyone needs to realize, as you said, is we can create our own realities. And I think it's just like squeezing yourself out of your comfort zone. And also myself, end of 2020, I made the move to Dominican Republic for 6 months and had that intuition, in burning intuition, fire in my chest that was like, you need to do this, get out of the city from Toronto, go be with family. And I mean, it's been 3 years now, still here. You know, initially the thought was, I've always wanted to be here for a winter season. We're in a global pandemic. I work from home anyways. It was like all the yeses were there and it didn't scare me. I think it scared like more of my parents because they're thinking, oh, you're going or leaving the country and whatever. But in the end, it was the best decision I ever made for myself. And
as much as there was so much unknown of what was going to happen with this pandemic and what's next for me or my career, like I just knew that this was the right step. So I totally feel you on your Costa Rica adventures.
We have such a similar story, except I am no longer in Costa Rica. I stayed for 18 months and then came back to Canada. And now I just want to explore other parts of the world. And my parents do actually own a home in Costa Rica, which they are planning to sell. But while they still have it, I still have a place to go. So that's kind of fun.
So at least that's still there for now. Yeah, I guess it's just all about taking that leap, you know, and trusting yourself, that inner intuition.
Mm-hmm. And I would like to say something about, you said, you know, stepping out of your comfort zone. And I think this might resonate with some people because I think we often say, you know, I'm nervous of doing whatever it is I want to do. Like for you, moving to Dominican, or for me, moving to Costa Rica, or for me, becoming an entrepreneur, working for myself. We feel like, how am I going to do it? That's scary. It's uncomfortable. I'm going to stay in my comfort zone. But I've realized that actually it's not the comfort zone that we want to stay in. It's the zone of familiarity, because it was never comfortable for me struggling to pay my bills and not knowing what was next and going to work 9 to 5, driving an hour to work, feeling burnt out, living for the weekends. But really, I was so tired that the weekends were for cleaning and sleeping.
Sure. I feel you. I feel like, I feel like I say this all the time. I'm like, I feel like I was in survival mode when I lived in Toronto, you know? And now I feel like I'm living finally. And
you are living and thriving. And that's the thing.
I agree.
So it's so fun to have these conversations because I think it gets people to think differently. It gets you to look at it in a different way. It's like, is it truly your comfort zone that's keeping you where you are? Or is it just fear of the unknown? And usually it's just fear of the unknown, like going into that next level, whether it's moving to another country or creating more wealth for yourself and your family or starting a new career, whatever it may be. It's not uncomfortable. It's just unknown. It's just unfamiliar. But I think that, you know, life is meant to be lived. And so many people are now beginning to live. Like if you think about our parents' generation, most people worked the same job until they retired. And then when they retired, they took their retirement. And that's when they started living. That's when they started traveling. And we're doing it differently now. And I'm so proud of myself and you and all the people out there who are, what I would say is jumping into the unknown, taking that leap of faith, right? And I love there's a quote that says, take a leap and the net will appear. What is the quote?
I think that might be it. It sounds like it sounds right. You know what I mean? It sounds right to me.
So many people are afraid of taking the leap, but it's like until you take the leap, the net doesn't appear, right? And I just think, I always tell this story about babies. When babies are first beginning to walk, they may take a step and fall down, but they don't stop, right? Their parents or their friends or their teachers or whoever is in their life is like, get back up and do it again. Try it again. Keep trying. And I just think if we looked at ourselves as that baby, when you go to try something to become your own boss or to move to another country and the first time it doesn't work out, most people say, wasn't meant to be. I give up. That's it. But instead, I want you to think of yourself as that baby. When you started walking and you fell down, your parents were like, oh, walking's just not for him. Walking's just not for her. Right? It's like, get back up and try again. And I think, like, I moved to Costa Rica in 2015 and I stayed for 2.5 months before I went back to Canada. And I felt like a failure. I was like, it didn't work out. But then in 2021, I had the goal again to move there again. And in 2022, I made the move and I stayed for 18 months. And I just think to myself, it led me to this very moment. And I'm so happy with what I'm doing with my life. And I feel like I can travel whenever I want and do whatever I want. And I just want people to know that when you trust yourself, it leads you to great things. It's just about trusting yourself and continuing to follow those steps and follow those nudges and whatever you're inspired to do, go out and do
it. Absolutely. Do it. Create your life. Create your reality. No,
create your reality. Yes.
But as a manifestation coach, you are, this is your mission to help more women step into their divine power and to live this life that they love, right? Can you explain for those that may not understand really, like, what does it mean to manifest? Like, what is it? And how can we actually manifest everything into our lives?
Yeah, of course. So manifestation is actually whatever you are living right now. So many people think that manifestation is the car in the garage or the dream home or the dream house. But really, manifestation is this moment right now that you're living. And it includes the house, the car, the job, the money, the loving relationship, all of that stuff. But really, what I love to teach is it's about the feeling. Because so many people want the house because they think the house is what's going to make them feel good, make them feel happy, make them feel secure. But really, we can feel all of those feelings without the house. And actually, manifestation, in order to manifest the house, I have a belief that you have to be on the frequency of whatever that house is going to bring you before you experience it in the physical 3D world. So if you want safety and security and love and joy in your life, and you think that the money or the dream job or the loving relationship is going to bring it, if you tap into those feelings first, that is what's going to make you a match for whatever it is that you're looking for. So many people will feel lonely and discouraged about dating. And they're like, Jessica, I can't find a partner. Like, what's going on? And I'm like, well, what are the reasons you want a partner? Why would you love a relationship? Well, somebody to do something with, you know, to feel loved, to feel cared for, you know, a partner in life, a companion, somebody to do things with. And I say, well, how can you tap into that now? Your friends, your family, right? Write a list of all of the things that you want in a partner and then become that list. So if you want someone who is emotionally available and a good communicator and loving and nurturing and kind and an entrepreneur, like the list goes on and on. Are you those things? Become those things and then you will become a match, because I believe that, well, I know that everything is energy. Our bodies are actually made up of 99.99999999% energy. So we attract based on the energy that we're putting out. So if you think about it, you know, love is something you can give to yourself. And any of the people that are listening to this right now, I want you to think about, if there's any single listeners, think about when you were in a relationship and how so many people came up to you and asked you for your number, right? This is not a coincidence. This is because you are on the frequency of love. And so you are attracting people who are drawn to that. And so if you're single and you want to have that, go back to the time when maybe you were in a loving relationship and think about when the people were hitting on you and asking for your number. It's an energy that you're putting out. It's a frequency that we're on. So many people will say to me, well, Jessica, how do I get on that frequency? To me, it's very simple. It's about doing the things that you love and tuning into how you're feeling. So, you know, so many people will say to me, I don't know how to be happy without the partner. And I'm thinking, well, do you like hiking? Do you like listening to music? Do you like spending time with your family? How does that make you feel? Oh, that makes me feel happy. Okay, so go out and do more of that. And it is so simple to shift our energy and to shift the way we're feeling. It's just that we have to become aware of it first. So if you're listening to this today, and there's something that you desire and it doesn't seem to be coming into your life, I want you to think about the energy you're putting out, because dating is just an easy one to talk about. I've been there before. Sometimes I'm still guilty of it. I'm like, oh, dating is so much work. We think like, oh, it's such a drag to go out with so many people. So when you're in that energy, that's what you're attracting. So if dating feels hard and you keep affirming that dating is hard and you keep feeling crummy about it, you're going to keep attracting people that make dating feel hard. But instead, now that you're listening to this and maybe you're thinking, oh, I have been doing that, I want you to ask yourself, what would I love in a partner and how would I feel? If you would feel loved, cared for, happy, joyful, then what can you do today to feel that? So for me, sometimes I will just get up and dance, jump up and down. Like the energy is magnetic, right?
Well, yeah.
It's like people.
Yeah, no, go ahead, sorry. No, it's true. It's the.
Yeah, no, I'm just.
Whatever frequency you're vibrating at, you're radiating this. So I also like to say, you know, you have to have an open heart too. You can't be trying to date people, but you have a blocked heart and you're walking around in a low frequency, right? You got to have, you know, that healing done, do the work, show up for yourself, give yourself that self-love and tune into that higher frequency, because then you're putting it out and then you'll attract it. And I really feel like that's where I was at when I met my partner 3 years ago. Like my heart was open. I was like vibrating at the highest frequency. I was here in the pandemic, but it's like, it was the right moment. I felt like I was like my best self when I met him, you know?
Yeah, totally. And the thing is, like, you can date while you're doing the work. You don't have to completely close off dating and do the work on yourself. Because for me, I personally believe that as you date, that experience is showing you where you still may have that closed heart, right? So pay attention to the people you're attracting. So for example, for me, I was attracting a lot of people who were emotionally unavailable. And so I realized that I was emotionally unavailable. I had a closed heart. So that allowed me to take the time to go within and really ask myself the questions, you know, why do I have this closed heart? And then it led me down this path of something that happened in my past made me afraid to open up to someone again. And I worked through that. I thought, you know, that saying that it's better to have loved and lost than to have never loved at all. And I feel like I just kept affirming that to myself.
Absolutely. And also, how would you say, in what ways can we manipulate our own energy to attract more abundance in our lives or to reach this like higher vibe frequency? Like what do you like to do or what do you suggest?
Okay. So this is where coming back to the dancing is one of my favorite things to do, because what we think about creates an energy that goes out into the world, and that's what we continue to bump into. So if you keep thinking life is hard, or how am I going to make more money, or how am I going to do this, or how am I going to do that, then you're vibrating on the frequency of that difficulty of things being hard. So we have to change the way we think. And so in order to do that, you have to first become aware of what you're thinking about, because most people, they're thinking all day long and they don't even know what they're thinking. I remember when I first started paying attention to what I was thinking, and I was like, that is not a vibe. That is not good. Right? We get these loops that play in the background and you're out living your life, not even noticing that you're thinking, you know, life is tough, things have to be hard, whatever. Because if you think about it, the way you were raised, the teachers, the parents, the people that were in your experience, they all had beliefs from their upbringing and they put them onto us. So when we're little, our subconscious mind is wide open. And so when your parents say, you know, keep it together, Jess, don't cry, people are watching, that's not professional, you got to go to school, you got to get married, you got to do this, all of those, whatever they are, go into the subconscious mind, and that becomes the program that we operate on. And as you get older, you just have this program that runs on autopilot. You don't need to be thinking on a conscious level. You are manifesting based on this program that's running in the background. So I always say the first step is to become aware of that program. Like, what are you thinking? So I was raised by incredible parents, love them to bits, but they were really uncomfortable when you showed emotion, right? I think that was really common for my age group was, you know, parents were like, oh, don't cry, people are looking. So I grew up thinking that crying was weakness. Now I realize that all of the emotions are important, and to honor them and let them flow through me, because what was happening was every time I felt sadness, I was pushing down the sadness, and that energy was actually getting stuck in the body.
Yeah, stagnant in there. You gotta let it go. Yeah.
You gotta let it go, because if you are walking around just a big ball of sadness because it's stuck in the body, it's hard to attract something that feels good. It's hard to attract that loving relationship or that job at that next level, because you're walking around with that energy that's stuck in the body. So this is where I really like music and dance. That's one way that I like to manipulate energy, because when you are moving your body, and you guys can't see me right now, but I'm literally just moving my body. You can be in your car driving, listening to this, and you can just move your shoulders and your arms, and moving the body is actually moving the energy. And what I like to do is I like to honor the feelings that come up. So I am a very sensitive person. I can feel everything. And I used to judge myself for having a bad moment or feeling sad about something. And instead I honor it. I think that's my gift. So notice the emotions that you're feeling and allow them to move through you. And that's going to help you work your way up what I like to call the emotional scale. Abraham Hicks talks about an emotional scale. And so if you think about it, on the bottom of the scale, the lowest and slowest vibration is depression, despair, sadness. That's at the bottom of the scale. Then you work your way up to, you know, hopefulness and optimism. And then you work your way up to joy and love, which are the highest vibrational frequencies. Most people want to jump from depression or despair all the way to love and joy. And it's just too big of a gap. So allow yourself to move up to the next level. Like if you are feeling sad one day and the next day you're feeling angry, that's a win, because you're moving up the scale, right? Let that anger out without judgment.
Absolutely.
Right? And then what I love to do is I love to pay attention to what makes me feel good. So calling a friend. I have two dogs. I love to take them to the dog park or take them out for walks, or I love to talk to them or pet them. Notice how you feel when you do those things, and then do more of those things. And I always say to people, if you have that loop on sadness or things are not working out for you and you're aware of it, but you're feeling like, I don't know how to change it, go and take a nap. This is where I give you permission to go and take a little siesta.
For me, it's like, yeah, I agree with the naps, getting out into nature, going for a walk, sunshine, animals, your pets, give them some kisses and attentions, dancing, lighting a Palo Santo, dancing in the Palo Santo, journaling, maybe like making a nourishing, like delicious meal, you know, these little things. Mm-hmm. Or just like self-care.
There's so many rituals,
stuff like this, you know, I need that.
Yeah. Self-care. Yeah, exactly. Like I have a friend, she actually was feeling a little stressed out about something one day, and I was at her house and she said to me, one of her clients hadn't paid a bill, and it was a $10,000 invoice. And so I said to her, what is it going to feel like when they pay that invoice? And she said, relief. It's going to feel good. And I said to her, what makes you feel relief and what makes you feel good that you can do now? And she said, taking a shower. She's always loved to take her showers. And I said, go take a shower now. And she said, I can't. She has three kids. I got to feed them dinner. This is, so if there's any moms listening, this might be something you have felt before. And I said, go take the shower. I will feed the kids. And you could feel that there was the mom guilt coming up. And this is why I like to encourage people and I like to have these conversations, because I want you to know that look at the power in this. So she finally went and took a shower, and guess what happened when she was in the shower?
Came through. Oh my gosh.
The payment came through. Wow. And this is how powerful it is, because if you think about us as energy, because we are energy, and something is not going the way you want it to go. So for her, it was that payment being received. So she was on a different frequency. She was feeling stressed, and you can't find the solution when you're focused on the problem. They're on different frequencies, right? So you are essentially kinking the hose. This is what I like to call it. So if you think about water and life and joy and all the good things as coming through a hose and flowing freely, as soon as you don't see it in the physical, or as soon as you notice it's not there or things are not going well, what you're actually doing is you're kinking the hose. And that's what we call resistance. So your energy gets heavy and you get tense and you're not a match anymore. So she went and took the shower and she unkinked the hose because she just enjoyed the shower and relaxed. So immediately her energy skyrocketed up to be a match for that payment. And that's how surrendering. And that's how simple it is.
Well, actually that's a beautiful story. Thank you for sharing that. But something I did want to discuss was the art of allowing, which is something that you've applied into your life, or surrendering. And it's something that I also had to learn how to do and really like step into during the pandemic, because, you know, there's so much uncertainty, like what's next, what's going to happen with my job, or like, what am I doing, you know, and all these like stresses. And, you know, once I learned how to like surrender and be in the moment and take one step at a time, that's when everything started to work out or fall into place over the last few years. So in what ways have you learned to practice the art of allowing, and how has it helped you on your transformational journey?
Okay, so this is such a good question, because I think you have to do it first and have the experience of seeing how your manifestation comes to fruition that quickly to really get it. But if any of you out there are trying to manifest something, you just got to try these things. So I'm going to tell you a couple stories just to give you an example. So one, when I was moving to Costa Rica, I have two dogs. I'm a single person, and I was supposed to be flying with my mom, my brother, my sister, and my dad, and my niece. So there were so many of us going. My mom has two dogs, so my brother was going to take one, and then my dad was supposed to take one of mine. Well, my dad left early, and my sister didn't get my niece's passport. So it was this whole thing. So the three of us are at the airport with four dogs. Okay. Hopefully you guys are following this story. So we're basically missing a person for one dog, but we still had the seat. So I thought for sure the dog could just go under that seat and there would be nobody sitting in that seat. Well, the airline said no. So my mom and my brother get on the airplane and I stay at the airport, and I kind of made a joke of it. I thought, well, it would be really nice if I had a private plane right now.
Okay.
So in that moment, I could have stressed and I could have been angry at the airline. And trust me, I did feel these, but only for a second, because I knew that that wasn't going to serve me. I did go into the crowd and ask somebody to fly with me, but the airline said I couldn't do that. So it was this whole big thing. But looking back on that experience, I see why it happened now. So my sister ended up coming to the airport to pick me up. The next day we flew together. All was good. It was fine. So then, because I made the joke about flying private, I kept seeing private planes and hearing about Kim K got a private jet and my friend was flying private to the Bahamas. And it just started coming into my experience. I was seeing all these private planes. And then about a year and a half later, I flew on my first private plane. So the art of allowing and surrendering is like knowing that there is a force that is greater than you, that is working on your behalf to make everything you desire happen. And we just don't know how it's going to happen. And so this contrast, what I call contrast, so the challenges or the things in life that don't seem to be going well, I look at them as a good thing now. I don't see anything as a bad thing. I think you have to have the darkness to see the light. You have to have the challenge to see the solution or the outcome on the other end of it. So for me, if I didn't have that experience, then I wouldn't have necessarily flown private later. And now that's it.
You wouldn't have made that comment. You would have been like on your flight.
Exactly. Exactly. And so I know that in those tough moments, if I stress, what happens to my body is my shoulders go up, I clench my jaw, you know, like there's, you can feel where the energy of your body starts to tense up and you become more like matter and less like energy. So knowing that I have that awareness now, when something like that comes up, I'm like noticing it in my body. I'm like, okay, I'm tensing up. That's not a match for what I desire. So I will actually physically release my shoulders, soften behind my eyes, unclench my jaw, do all of those things so that I can become that energy,
yeah.
Right? So this is what I call the art of allowing. I actually have another story. I dropped my laptop right before I was about to do a Zoom event and the screen wouldn't work. So I freaked out a little and I was at my friend Holly's in Muskoka. And I thought to myself, well, there's nothing I can do now. It's Saturday. I'm at her place. Like, she's gone. So I don't have access to her computer. I'm just going to go on my phone. And I started to stress a little. And then I noticed that I was stressing. So what I did was I grabbed a bag of Doritos and I went and laid in her bed with my phone and I watched the Zoom call. And I completely surrendered. I thought, there's nothing else I can do right now but surrender. So I got myself cozy in the bed with my little bag of Doritos. And I just felt so relaxed. And on this live event, she did a visualization and I closed my eyes and I fully surrendered in the visualization. And then that was one of my best days in sales in a long time. And I know it's because I allowed myself to surrender to any of that stress that was happening, because if you realize, like, the stress doesn't solve the problem, the stress actually keeps you from finding the solution. So I've now had enough experiences in my life where I have evidence of that. So now, like, I would say, let's just call me a master in the art of allowing.
I'm a master. You are the master. The director of your life, you know?
Yeah. And you know, so anybody who's listening to this, another thing I want you to pay attention to is so often we ask for things and then they start to come into our life, but we shoo them away. And I'll give you an example. You might be asking for more money. I want more money so I can go on more trips, or I can pay my bills with ease, or I can save for a house, whatever it is. You asking for more money, the universe hears that. Universe, God, source, whatever you want to call it, hears that. You've asked for it. Now, the universe is going to do the work for you, and the next step is for you to receive. So being on the frequency of receivership. And the way that most people deny what they ask for is it will come to them in a way that they didn't expect, and they say no to it. So they may go out for dinner with a girlfriend and the girlfriend wants to pick up the tab. And most people are like, no, it's okay. I'll get it. And I think to myself, no, that is the universe delivering what you've asked for. But so many people think that the money has to come through their employer. No, money can come as gifts. Money can come. Look at me. I flew on a private plane completely paid for. That was a manifestation of, let's just say, $30,000, right? So I could have easily said, no, I can't receive that gift. Like, I need to wait till I have 30 grand to pay for it myself. But instead, I've studied this and I know that that was the universe delivering what I made a joke about, what I actually really want. So be open to receiving in all ways. And it's not just in gifts and money. It's also in compliments. When people compliment you based on your beautiful energy or the way you look, you know, you might have a cute new hairstyle or an outfit that they like. So many people, and I'm going to say this, women especially, they do not receive well. So this is your task listening to this today. Go out and start complimenting other women and sharing that beautiful energy. And then when they bring it back to you, just say thank you.
Receive it. I think that's the best compliment you can ever receive is when someone says, I love your energy. For me, I'm like, thank you. I don't neglect that. I say thank you. And then I tell them that's the best compliment. Thank you. You know?
Yeah. And you know, there is so much power in just saying thank you.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you want more of something, just start saying thank you. Like, I think to myself, you know, thank you for this house that I live in. Thank you for the car that I drive. The more you appreciate, the more you will receive to appreciate.
I want to get into talking about joy. So speaking of all of this, you know, so this is a feeling which most humans seek daily. You know, we're all seeking those daily joys or little glimmers, as they say. So what are some tools that you like to implement to bring more joy into your life daily? And what do you think is the most true joy of life?
Okay, so I think joy is the highest frequency out there, and it's on the same frequency as love. So this is when you are just totally happy, that blissful feeling. So for everyone, it's going to be different. But for me, like, it's the simple things in life. And I think when you pay attention to the simple things, they end up compounding over time into the big things, right? So like I said to you earlier, I have two dogs and I love them so much. They mean so much to me. So just being in their energy and caring for them and petting them and talking to them. You know, even yesterday I posted a video on my story of me trying to teach my one little guy how to speak because he's never been able to do that. And he's 4. And, you know, I got a lot of messages, people saying that was the cutest little video. And I'm like, that brings me so much joy. So for you, it might be, you know, playing music or being around a whole bunch of people, swimming. You said you went for a swim right before we hopped on this call. Like, for everybody, it's different things. But I think so many people wait for the big trip to bring them joy. They think like, oh, I'm going to work, save my money, and then I'm going to go on this big trip and that's going to bring me so much joy. And I think what you're doing is you're sabotaging the joy that you could be having today in this moment. So think about your hot coffee. Like, I like me iced too. Coffee, but for some of you it might be hot coffee, but for me, my iced coffee, like, it brings me so much joy. I live in a condo where I get the sunrise every morning, and I cannot even tell you the joy that brings me. And that's free. That is completely free. So you don't have to wait for the big bonus at work, and you don't have to wait for the big trip to feel that joy. I feel like if you can see the joy in the sunrise, the sunset. I went out today and the sun on my face felt so amazing. So I like to notice those things. And when you notice those things, you feel that joy. And the more joy you feel, the more the universe brings you to feel joyful about. So, you know me, I love music. I've said that many times on this podcast already today. So, you know, if you're at home working or cleaning or whatever, and you're thinking like, oh, I would rather be at the beach. Well, what's going to make cleaning or being at home feel more joyful? For me, it's listening to music. You know, I love doing those little things. I also love meditating. So when I can sit down and just quiet my mind and sit with myself and get to know myself, I've learned how to love myself more. So the more I love myself, I find the more joy I experience. So I don't know if that answers your question.
No, for sure.
But
you have lots of joy in your life. Lots of little glistens. Is that what they call it? They say like glimmers.
Glimmers. Oh, and you know what? I will add something, because I think in North America, a lot of people have this idea that you work really hard to buy new house, new car, a new this, a new that. Have these really nice things. And don't get me wrong, those are nice things to have. But when I moved to Costa Rica, one of the main reasons I loved Costa Rica so much was because people had these little tiny concrete homes with wooden doors that barely closed. And they sat on their front porch in a rocking chair and they laughed and they would smoke and play cards and they would go to the beach and surf and walk their dogs. And I just noticed there was such a difference from North American culture to Costa Rican culture. People, like, I would get together with my friends in Canada every 6 weeks or 2 months. People had to book you out months and months in advance. Whereas in Costa Rica, it's like, pick up the phone. Hey, I want to go to the beach. And people are free to go to the beach. So there was a big difference from what made them happy compared to what was making North Americans happy. And I feel like I still have to work at it, but every day I'm reminded that my friends are what bring me joy. My family, my sister, my sisters, you know, my dogs, those things are what make me happy. It's not about having a new this
like
or
about
a new
community,
that.
Like your community, people around you. I find that's like really big here too. I've been all around the island, but like some of these smaller beach towns have a very strong community, expat communities. If you don't have family here, it exists. Like there's the surfer community, there's the kite surfers, there's the like holistic, you know, there's a lot to choose from. But like, I love the sense of community versus maybe being in a larger city where like it does take like 4 to 6 weeks to book a brunch with your girlfriends or whatever, because we're all in that rat race versus like slowing down a little and just like allowing yourself to like go for a surf in the morning before you have to jump online and work or do whatever you got to do. Those people, they get there at 6 a.m. and they have a couple hours with community surf community or whatever they're doing. But it's definitely present here. And I think it needs to happen more.
Yeah. And you know what? I always like to say to people, I'm like, what brings me joy is going to be different from what brings you joy. There are so many people out there that love what they do for work. And they love pouring into their work and they're making an impact, or, you know, they feel so rewarded by what they're doing. So there is no right or wrong thing to be doing. I just think for me personally, I really realized that I was working so much. I wasn't happy. And then I was taking my money and I was trying to buy my happiness. So I was buying things that were giving me these temporary dopamine hits. And it wasn't until I realized, was like, actually, that's not what makes me happy. Like, I want to work less and spend more time with my friends and family and travel to new places and experience new cultures and foods and people. So that is what brings me joy.
Love it. Thank you for your joyous answer.
You're welcome.
So I actually want to talk about briefly, if you can, you're working on your first book as a co-writer with Holly Ann Carroll, which is set to launch this year. So can you tell us a little bit about that?
Yes, of course. I'm so excited about this because Holly and I actually met in the program that I took that was 6 months. And so we were like Zoom besties for a long time. We didn't meet in person for a long time. And Holly wrote her first book actually in Costa Rica. She went to a writing retreat. And I just said to her one day, I said, would you be interested in doing like a journal or something with me? And she said, yeah, I think that would be cool. And so I went up to Muskoka and we wrote out the whole idea of it. And we started plugging away at it. And so the book actually turned into more than just a journal. It's short stories, journal exercises, tools that we've used to help us get into alignment with what we desire, to find more joy, to live happier lives, to actually live our lives. It's like a little resource that we want to share with the world. So I actually remember texting Holly and saying, what did I say to her? Something along the lines of, everything I write down becomes my reality. And she said, you've got the magic ink, girlfriend. And I said, that's the name of our book.
I love that.
So for me, journaling has been really profound in my manifestations. I write all the time what I would love in the present tense. So I started writing things like, I'm traveling all the time. I'm making 5 figures a month. I'm dancing around, living my best life. I'm making such an impact. I would just write what I desire to live in the present tense. And the more I wrote it, the more I believed it. And then things just started appearing. So I remember in 2022, I was living in Costa Rica at the time, but I was doing a lot of writing about traveling all over the place and going to new places and having these new experiences. And then my friend from Florida, we were actually college roommates at York University. She texted me on my birthday and said, happy birthday. want to come to Mexico and swim with whale sharks? The trip is completely paid for. And I was like, yes, wow. I do.
There you go.
And so I thought to myself, it is not a coincidence that she is inviting me on this trip, because I had been affirming that I was traveling and having these new experiences. So I went to Mexico and swam with whale sharks. And it has happened so many times since then, because there's so much power in writing down what you want to the point of you actually believing it. This is one thing I actually want to mention. If you write all day long, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm rich, I'm wealthy, I have so much money, but you don't believe it, that you're not a match for it. So this is where becoming aware of your energy is so important. And I say to people, like, notice what you're thinking when you're not writing it. So if you're writing, I'm so prosperous, money keeps flowing to me, my income keeps increasing, and then you go to the grocery store and you say, like, oh my goodness, apples are now $3. That is not the thought or the belief of a prosperous person. So noticing that, right? So with me saying I'm traveling all the time, I was actually starting to book trips, and I was living in Costa Rica at the time. So I was on the frequency of inviting all of the trips into my experience. And so, yeah, this book is a labor of love. It's way bigger than we ever anticipated. So it's taking us a little bit longer to get it finished, but we've infused it with little stories like what I'm sharing with you here on the podcast today, so that you guys can hear it's not all rainbows and butterflies. It's not, you just journal and then it appears. You know, sometimes you're going to see that contrast. But I love telling those stories because when they happen to you, you know that that's just so that you experience the opposite.
Yeah, then you can start to recognize when it's happening in your life. And, you know, so exactly. Basically, yeah, when we were chatting on our call last week, you kind of just mentioned, like, we're always manifesting all the time. We're living in our manifestations, because our reality now is what probably we were wishing for, like maybe 5 years ago, a year ago, whatever. You know, it's like these thoughts are living on a frequency and being put out there in the universe, and it's coming back to us eventually, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And another thing I want to add to that is we are manifesting every day, all day long. So some people will say to me, well, Jessica, like, I was in a car accident, so are you telling me I manifested that car accident? And it's like, if you are not consciously creating, so being intentional about what you're creating, you just leave yourself wide open to bumping into whatever is out there. So no, you didn't consciously create that car accident, but you weren't consciously creating, so you were just open to whatever was out there. So this is why I like to remind people, I'm like, when I wake up in the morning, I set my intention for the day. Before I do anything, I set the intention. So because I had that experience at the airport, I now, before I go to an airport, I always set the intention that I'm going to have the greatest people and I'm going to have the greatest experience, and they're going to upgrade me to the front of the plane. And if I haven't already paid for that, but when I go to the airport now, I bump into the happiest, most joyful people. And that's not a coincidence. That's because I've set the intention. But where most people don't realize they're manifesting their experience is they have one bad experience, and then the next time they go to fly, they expect that bad experience again. Like, you've probably seen all over Facebook, people are like, the airport is such a nightmare. And I'm like, you are manifesting that the airport will be a nightmare.
Yeah, it was all over the news in the middle. You know, when they were opening up travel again, and Air Canada or like Pearson was just a nightmare from what I saw. And I was like, ooh, that looks rough. But yeah.
I know. And you know what? This is a good chat to have now too. Is like, if you're seeing that all over your Facebook or social media, unfollow those people.
Unfollow the low vibrational people.
Yeah. If people are complaining all the time or talking about the things that are not going well, and then you're observing it by watching their social media, it's getting into your energy, right?
So definitely when you start to see those negative posts or people complaining on social media, mute them if you can't, unfollow if they're a friend, or delete. Mm-hmm. Because that's the other thing. You control what you're also viewing on your socials, or you can.
Exactly. So that's the thing. If you guys want to create something different for your life, you know, nothing changes if nothing changes. So if every morning you wake up and you open your Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, whatever it is, and you keep seeing the same people talking about the same things, and then you make your coffee and you do your thing, you're going to have the same experience over and over again. But now that you're listening to this and you're thinking, I would like something different for myself, you can wake up in the morning and choose not to be on your phone. Go right to journaling or turning on the music and allowing yourself to get in that high vibrational state. And then if you do choose to go to social media, be really, really particular about whose social media you are observing.
Yeah, I try not to look at my phone messages, socials until I'm sitting at my desk, and then I'll deal with things if I have messages. But for me, it's like setting the tone for myself, because you can have one annoying message when you wake up and that's just like ruined my whole day because now I'm annoyed versus like waking up, doing my thing.
But here's the thing. Let me just say, someone once said to me, you're so happy all the time. And they said, don't you have bad days? And I said, no, I don't have bad days. I have bad moments. I used to have bad weeks and months, but now I choose every new moment can be a new experience. So it's okay to feel like disappointed or annoyed or frustrated by something, but then become aware of it and say to yourself, like, what's going to make me feel better? Go take that nap, turn on that music, journal about it. Like sometimes I will journal about it and be like, this is really pissing me off. get it out on paper and then rip it up, burn it, do whatever you got to do. And it's like, I instantly feel lighter.
I love it. I agree. Yeah. It's the only way to like release it, right? Instead of holding on to this all day, like looming over it. So I'm so excited to see your workbook launch this year. And yeah, you'll have to let us know when it's out so we can share it as well. But yeah, that's so exciting. We're going to get to the Follow Your Bliss finale question. So if you'd like to share with us one positive affirmation.
Yes. Okay. One positive affirmation. Well, one thing that I love to say is everything is always working out for me. And that's such a simple one, because even when you're in the spaces, in the experiences that feel tough, if you affirm everything is always working out for me, it's like that is happening so that you can launch rockets of desire that are even greater than you ever thought possible. Just like my private plane experience, me not being able to get on my plane launched the desire for something that I would have never even dreamt of before. I never thought that I was the person that would fly privately, right? So just know that everything is always working out for you. And the more you affirm that, the more that will be your story.
That's actually one of my favorite ones. I usually say everything is working out, best case scenario. That's same, same, different. But I love that one. Yeah. It's just a good one to like whisper to yourself throughout the day or whatever you're doing, along with other intentions and affirmations.
Totally.
Well, Jessica, thank you so much for being here today and sharing some of your insights on like manifesting your life and creating your life. It's been really insightful and I can't wait to see what's next for you. But yeah, thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me. And if anybody wants to come over to Instagram, that's where I usually am. You guys can follow me at Jessica Whitney. And hopefully we get that book out in the next few months so I can share that with all of you that are listening to this. And I wanted to also give a special shout out to Kenny for introducing us. I know she'll be listening. So thank you, Kendra.
She was our connector. She's like, oh my God, you have to talk to my friend Jessica. Oh my God, you'll love her. But okay. Send me her stuff. And then here we are.
That's so great. She's so sweet. Thank you, Kendra.
Well, have a beautiful day. It was so great to chat with you. And I, you know, wish you nothing but the best.
Thank you so much, Lindsay. I'm so excited that we could do this. And I look forward to seeing what you're up to as well.
All right. We'll talk soon. And thanks for listening.